Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune in to how you feel, because it's time to stretch. Hello and welcome back to a new season of Stretch Marks podcast. My name is Sinead O'Moore and I created Stretch Marks to give us all an opportunity to acknowledge the parts of life that are stretching us in all directions, not just the physical, but the mental, emotional, hormonal, professional, financial, identity, partnership, energetic stretches we all go through. Because there is no right or wrong. There is no picture perfect. There are just a series of stretches, one after the other, that leave their mark. This episode is sponsored by Carrywell, maternity wear that makes breastfeeding and pregnancy as comfortable as possible. Carrywell is the support we need with their maternity and nursing underwear, made specifically for our growing needs before, during, and after pregnancy. Embrace the stretch of motherhood confidently with Carrywell and this podcast.
Okay, this episode is a blend of the physical and the spiritual, the blend of the feminine body and the feminine rising, a story of endometriosis, IVF, fertility, and faith, not in the religious sense, but in the kind of angelic sense. My guest, Sinead Dehora, is an angel healer, a Rouhani teacher, an author, and a facilitator of spiritual ceremonies, including those with couples who are on a fertility journey. But she is also a woman who herself battled endometriosis and IVF to conceive the baby she is now carrying. With so many lessons learned along the way, this conversation takes us to new places on this podcast, places some of us might not fully understand. But that's also what's so powerful about listening to human experiences and surrendering to all the things in this life that we do not know.
Sinead, you are so very welcome, you and Bump, to this episode of Stretch Marks podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm so excited to see what wants to come out today. I can't wait to see where this conversation goes.
You are quite intuitive, so I believe you when you say that, that really, you know, channeling messages is kind of what you do, whether that is your own or for others. So I really believe you when you say that, you know, what comes up today is kind of meant to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When, especially when I'm being interviewed or we're having a lovely conversation, I've already tapped in, I've already tuned in. And, you know, for those listening that may not know me or what I do, I've connected with spirit my whole life. I've seen angels since I was a little tiny girl. I say four, my parents say younger. So this is normal. This is a normal way of talking for me. But everything that I will say will be based on me, whatever wants to come out intuitively, and see where the conversation takes us today.
You said at the beginning that you didn't want to be teacher today. You know, you're here just as you, a woman living this human experience here with us all that has navigated so much when it comes to your fertility and ultimately can now share a bit of a story of hope.
That's exactly it. I think when I do a lot of work with so many women and couples, that want to conceive and are on a fertility journey, and I have been on that journey myself for quite some time, that today, talking to you, I'm not teacher Sinead. I'm just sharing my own personal experience. And I think that's so important to set at the get-go, because when I'm talking about my experience, it is my experience. And if that can spark a little bit of inspiration or hope, then that's my job well done. But I'm not teaching today. So I always say, take what you want and leave the rest.
Take us back to the beginning of the story. I have a little insight in that I know that it is based in London, and it is you deciding that actually you want to kind of inquire a little bit more about your body and how it's kind of working, and everything kind of fell apart.
I remember it was in London. Yes, it was in London. I remember I was going about my morning, my usual morning routine, getting ready for work. And like you do in autopilot at the time, I was about to take the contraceptive pill, and I just heard this huge intuitive voice being like, don't do it. So I put it down, took the packet, threw it in the bin, and never took it again. And that's when everything, either you can say fell apart or fell into place, whatever way. It's kind of both, really, if I'm being totally honest. It was in that moment that my cycle went haywire. I stopped having periods, didn't have one for 2 years. And my whole body changed. I was so fit. I was so healthy. I was size 10, working out, exercising, eating so well. And in 4 months, I went to a size 16. And it's not about the size, it's just this is how my body completely changed from just so much hormones and different things that were going on. And I was just in so much pain every single day and was getting worse, so much so that I remember I had to crawl. There was one point I had to crawl from my bedroom to my bathroom. I couldn't stand and walk. And I was seeking so many different alternative and complementary medicine, as well as, you know, Western medicine, to try and see what was actually going on. And I just felt so much in limbo that no one was giving me an answer until I took control. And it was endometriosis, and I did have to have surgery. And I only kind of really got support because I got angry. I got my voice and I said, someone needs to listen to me, and this is what I need. And I know I'm making that very short. That's like a 2 or 3 year journey in that process. But yeah, it was very, very tough on my body, but it was my body starting to regulate itself and regulate its hormones after being on the pill for so long.
Were you listened to when you start talking about these symptoms?
No, I was treated for the symptoms and not the root cause. And I remember, and it's so shocking to me now that I actually let this happen, because it's so like, I'm not one for taking medication. You know, I wouldn't even take paracetamol. I'm like, no, I'll use my alternative. Like I do, of course I trust in Western and Eastern medicine. There has to be room for both. Of course there is. But at the time, like, I just wouldn't take medicine. I'd let my body heal. I'd use alternative methods. But I remember at the time they were prescribing me high levels of painkillers. And when I Googled, upon reflection, the next stage was morphine. That's how strong these painkillers were. And I said, why was I doing that? I was just numbing the symptom and not actually treating the root cause. And it was only when I remember the doctor's surgery that I was registered at was literally 5 doors down from my apartment in London, 5 doors down. And I remember holding the wall, struggling to get to that appointment. And it was a new doctor and it was a man. And I remember going in and I'll make up a name for now. His name was, his fake name is Joe, right? But I went in, I said, what's your name? And he said, Dr. Joe. And I remember looking him dead in the eye, as bold as brass, saying, Joe, this is my body. This is what I need from you. Please write this down and get me a referral. And his response was, what do you do for a living? And I said, what I do for a living is completely irrelevant, but this is what I need from you today. And it was because I got that like fire in my belly, that power. I felt like I had to take control of my well-being and my health. And because of that, I feel like I was heard for the first time. I was heard for the first time because I was like, enough is enough. I'm not being pawned off or ignored about my symptom or treating the symptom. I want to heal the root cause of this pain now. And that's when things started to turn for me.
How wrong to have to get to that level.
Oh, absolutely. But also it was very empowering.
Okay.
And it was a huge lesson for me in myself as well, being like, it's okay to have your voice. If your voice is so needed. And it's also really amazing for me now, as I am pregnant. I know that's, we're skipping years, and I mean years ahead. But as I am pregnant, it really, and I actually have a story to tell about that as well, but it really goes to show that your intuition and your knowledge about your body is so much more than anybody else can ever interpret or understand. And I know I am skipping ahead, but I just want to share this story while it's on my top of my head. We went for our 12-week appointment, and we are registered with Hollis Street. And we went for a 12-week appointment to have the Doppler to hear the heartbeat. And the nurse was using the Doppler and couldn't hear the heartbeat. And I said to her, "You're putting it in the wrong spot." And she was like, "No." And I was like, "Trust me, the baby's not where you have the Doppler. It's," and I pointed. And she was like, "How do you know this?" And I said, "Well, I'm highly intuitive and I can feel the baby there." So anyway, she still couldn't feel it. So we had to have an emergency rush into Hollis Street to have a scan. And then I said to the nurse, "This is where the baby is." She put the scan exactly where I said, and baby was bouncing away delighted with life. So it just goes to show, I think, at the time, now upon reflection, back with Dr. I can't remember the fake name I said, with the Dr. Joe, that gave me the power to trust in my body, trust in myself. And really that light bulb moment, being like, "No, you know your body better than anyone else, Sinead. Listen to this knowledge and inner wisdom."
What was life like for you on your endometriosis journey once you started to treat the problem, not the symptom?
Do you know what? As you ask the question, it's kind of a blur. Once I had, I feel like I don't remember a lot till the surgery. I had to have surgery. It was Halloween. I remember going in for Halloween to have the procedure. And I felt like that was a huge turning point where I was like, okay, I can finally have my life back. And it wasn't until I got my first kind of natural bleed, if you will, after, you know, having that process, you know, after having the surgery, my first natural bleed felt like, oh, I can breathe again. I felt like I was kind of holding my breath the whole time because I was in A, so much pain. B, I didn't feel like, and I don't even want to say it, but it's kind of, it is the truth. I didn't feel like I was in my feminine power or like having a feminine experience because I wasn't having a bleed every month. And once I started to do that, I really felt like I was coming back. I really felt like, okay, I'm starting to relax a little bit more. And it took years. Now, I didn't have a regular cycle for years after that. It was so sporadic. And it wasn't until 2020 that I started having a regular cycle again. So it took a long time. We're talking like this has been an 8-year process, you know. It took a long, long time. And it was really in 2020, I remember. It's actually coming up to the anniversary. February snow moon is my favorite moon of the whole year. And it's a full moon, just in case anyone doesn't know. And I remember being down for a walk with my husband at the beach, and I placed my hands on my womb and I just, "Give me a second." And it was so dark, the moon beautiful and pink and bright in the sky. I just put my hands on my womb and I said, "Do what you've got to do." And I said, "Thank you." This moon felt so feminine, so powerful. And that night I went home and I bled, I had my period. And ever since then, it was like clockwork because I felt like I had to, my body needed me to let go of the control of my period coming. I needed to just let go and be like, "You know what? Do what you've got to do. You guide me," rather than my mind guiding it.
Can I make a cheeky request and invite you for just this one tiny moment to enter into teacher mode? Because I know that there is a connection. I'm learning that there is a connection between our womb cycle, our fertility cycle, and the moon cycle. And the fact that I'm almost 40 and I'm only joining the dots, when you're like, well, you know, the moon changes every single month. We have a full moon every month. We go from, you know, that full moon all the way back down to the new moon and back up again. And I'm like, oh my God, in a woman's body, we go from that ovulation cycle into bleed, back into ovulation cycle. And you're like, these two things create, well, like our cycle creates life. And the moon maybe is kind of controlling the world a little bit more than we think.
We are definitely synced up to the moon. Absolutely. We definitely do sync up. I'm actually, before I logged on, I'm in the middle of writing a newsletter all about the dark moon energy we're in right now and what it's teaching us. So no, we definitely are in such a connection with the moon cycles. We, I won't go into too much detail because this could be a whole podcast in itself, but we do tend to sync up through ovulation, maybe with the full moon and bleeding with the new moon. And way back when, back in the day, you know, collectively as women, and I'm sure we've all experienced it. If you work in a female environment, or maybe with your, if you have sisters or your mom or whoever, you naturally will sync up your cycles and you probably will have your period at the same time, right? This is quite common. And back, way back when, there used to be like what was known as the red tent, where a lot of women would come in under the new moon and bleed together. And that was a beautiful, like a death or a winter, if you're talking a season, a winter process where you get to go inwards upon reflection. You go inwards to celebrate. You go inwards to reflect on what your intentions are, what you need, what you want to go. It was very nourishing and nurturing. And then as you come out of your bleed, out of the death process, the shedding, the letting go, you're going into spring and you start to get your life a little, you start to get a bit of energy, you start to get a bit excited, you start to feel a little bit more like yourself. And then you really bloom in summer, which is your ovulation, and you really bloom. And then sometimes it can be through the full moon, and that full moon represents that celebration, like celebrating what you've achieved over the last month, like really honoring what you've achieved. And then, of course, we'll continue the cycle into autumn. And that's when usually we can feel a little bit wild in our hormones. We can feel a little bit maybe irritable, a little bit ratty. I know, right? We can feel a little bit, let's say, imbalanced. Mm-hmm. But then we're getting ready to go back into the shedding, the death process again. And that's our beautiful cycle that we go through every single month as women, whether you bleed or not. By the way, you do go through those phases as women. And if you do sync up with the moon and how you feel, your energy levels, what excites you, when are you more creative? When do you need more rest? And just pay attention to where the moon phase is at as well. And you'll notice such similarities. So there's a little bit of teacher Sinead there.
And thank you for that, because I do think it's worth noting. And it does, I suppose, give an extra layer to that story of how you were, you know, there under this moon, connecting to your womb, which is, you know, a life force within us as women, you know. And sometimes hearing you speak about kind of the positive experience of natural bleed, for you, that was trying to get back to that. As somebody who bleeds monthly, I like resent it, and I don't value it, and I don't kind of love it. It's an experience that I kind of have to endure, and I don't connect it enough, actually, back to what it is as such a primal experience and demonstration of my feminine power.
I'm going back to Sinead now, not teacher Sinead, but yeah. I remember on a fertility journey, you know, when all you want to do is conceive, every month when that bleed came, I would mourn. I'd be in mourning. And then after I let myself mourn and cry and, you know, be disappointed that she's here again, I'd go back into celebration and be like, thank you, because it's a beautiful sign that you're A, ovulating, B, that you're letting go, and you're letting go and you're able to come into yourself. Like for me, every time I got my period, like I said, after the mourning of baby not being there, I actually just go, okay, how can I honor myself? And I would do something every single month for me, whether that was having a nap on the sofa, whether that was having a cup of cacao, whether it was going for a walk on the beach. I would listen to my body every single month and give it what it needed out of gratitude for it doing so much for me. And usually for me, you know, when I did have my cycle, it was a huge intuitive hit for me. I'd actually write and journal a lot, because I'd actually want to just express how I'm feeling, what I've learned even over the past month, what I'd like going forward. It was a beautiful time of reflection. But I think sometimes, you know, as women, especially in today's society, we can't, like, I'm blessed, I work for myself and I can take a nap when I need to, if I need to, around my bleed. But if you work a 9-to-5 and you're in, you know, maybe you're working in a hospital or you're working in an office, we haven't got the liberty to do that. So I know that's really hard for a lot of women, and we have to push ourselves, which is why it can sometimes be a burden to have your bleed, because you're like, oh, I don't have the energy not to be tired. I don't have time not to be tired. So I can understand why there's that kind of mixed emotion towards your period. It can be a hindrance if you don't have the time. Like, I know I'm quite privileged to be able to say I can actually listen and take a nap when I need to. I know around my period, I'll never book in 1-to-1 appointments because I won't have the energy for it. And I know that's quite privileged. But back when I used to work in corporate 9-to-5, or, you know, working in that environment, it was a struggle. And yes, it was a pain in the bum having your period when you have to be busy.
You say privileged, but I feel like it's just another example of how the world is set up for people to have hormones that don't fluctuate, also known as men, and that the workplace is still set up entirely around the kind of the homogenous every single day feeling the same. And of course, like, of course, energy levels fluctuate for all genders, but it isn't set up to kind of honor, okay, for the next couple of days you're going through something incredibly physically draining, literally, and therefore honor your needs right now and then come back stronger. It's like each month we just kind of get depleted by the need to have to mask it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think we have been programmed to mask it and not say it or be ashamed of even saying period. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, if I had to buy a tampon or a pad in the shop, I'd hide it in my basket or I'd hide it under things, where, like, that was just kind of programmed to be shamed about it. Where now it doesn't, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but for me, maybe in my world and, you know, with my clients and friends, it doesn't feel like that. It's more, we're honoring it and we're voicing, you know what, I'm feeling highly emotional today. I'm on my bleed, or I'm in my hormones are maybe imbalanced. So we have to, as women, just not mask it anymore. Revolution, if you will, is coming. The feminine rising is happening. We hear that quite a lot. And that's the feminine within us, is that compassion, that love, that celebration and honor for what our bodies go through every single week, every single month.
Your personal experience was still looking at it as an identifier to, is my body beginning to regulate in a way that would hopefully create life?
Yes.
When your cycle started under that new moon, full moon. When your cycle did continue or return, when and how did your fertility journey evolve? Did you feel in that moment, okay, great, oh my gosh, here we go?
And then, no, not in the slightest. It was a long, I knew there was a long road ahead. And I tried to shift that, but I just felt I personally had a lot of lessons I needed to uncover, and I had a lot of unlearning I needed to do and relearning about myself, my body, spirit, and the delicacy of calling a life from another vibration, another realm, if you will, into our body to birth it into this world. I felt like I had a lot to learn. And it felt, the only way I can describe it, I felt like I was in the void. And I talk about the void quite a lot. And the void can be both, or it can be all of, you know, beautiful, exciting, because you don't know what's coming. It can feel terrifying, and because you're out of control, you can't control the outcome. And it can feel like you're numb. And that was kind of my real feeling for a lot of it, was a numbness. And I felt like, I always split my married name is Sinead Healy. My work name, my maiden name, is Sinead Dehora. And I say the only kind of break I got from that numbness was my work, my Sinead Dehora, because I was able to channel and connect. But Sinead Healy struggled. Sinead Healy really went through a dark shadow energy, a darkness where, you know, I was questioning, like, I've seen angels my whole life. Why the hell is this not working for me? I've connected with spirit. My faith is the strongest I know out of a lot of people. What the hell do you want from me? And that's kind of what I had to really, really work through on a personal level. And like I said, the only break I got from that was being able to channel and really connect with the love. And that's when I had moments of, oh, okay, I don't need to control this. It's happening for me. But what I really struggled with was, you know, like I said before, I work with a lot of women and couples who, you know, have been on a fertility journey themselves, and they come to me. It is so hard to have to like separate the Sinead Dehora and Sinead Healy to celebrate and honor this amazing gift that this woman wants and her dreams are being fulfilled, when I'm sitting there having my period again. Like every time I'd connect, I'd receive different insights from different angels or my guides, and I had to really work layer by layer by layer to get my energy to a certain frequency in order to conceive our beautiful baby. And yeah, there was a lot of fear releasing I had to go through, because we didn't conceive naturally, if you will, the way we had hoped. We did go down the medical route, and that I had to do a lot of unlearning for myself, to accept that support and that help. Because I think that was the most shocking part of all, is that we needed the support and help that I, Sinead Dehora, who's connected with angels my whole life, needed medical assistance. And that's why I said at the very start that we need Western and Eastern medicine, and together, whew, it's amazing.
So tell me, take me up to the point where you then begin to accept that, when you now feel, I have taken my body as far as I can possibly take it within the controls of me and myself. And I need, no more than when you were in your endometriosis journey, you needed that surgery to get to the next stage. How did it feel to then decide we need to explore getting that medical support?
We said that it was, I'm trying to think, what year are we now? 2024. So we said that by April 2023, if it hasn't happened naturally, we're going to start seeking support. But just to kind of come back a little bit, we had, you know, went down and had some tests to make sure everything was okay. Everything was fine. You know, it was just unexplained infertility, right? Which is both absolutely incredible, but, you know, at the time it was like, just give me something that I can work on, you know? So it was both a blessing and a frustration. But then I went to Malta and I held a retreat in Malta. I was there for 10 days. And that, oh my God, it was phenomenal.
It was sensational.
Oh, do you know what? The women were so beautiful. And not only that, like when I hold space, whether it's in a one-on-one, whether it's a group setting or a retreat, I'm receiving a lot. You know, I'm also getting healed at the same time. So on that retreat, I didn't realize how much, like one of my main guides, I call her the Queen of Angels, or some people know her as Mary or a lady. I just say the Queen of Angels. Okay. And she's one of my main guides. And she was everywhere around where the hotel was. Couldn't believe it. And I just felt on that retreat, it was so divinely feminine led. It was so all about intuitions, all about learning to receive. And I remember coming home from that retreat and Sean was in the office working, and I walked in and I said, I'm ready now. And he said, ready for what? And I said, I'm ready to be a mum now. And that was only in May 2023. And we had been on this journey for a long, long, long time, right? And he said, you haven't been ready before now. I said, no, because I wasn't. I know, but energetically I wasn't, because I was still busy. I was rushing. Now, again, I'm really talking about my journey now. This is very much about me. I'm not teaching anymore. But I was very much beforehand rushing, creating. And I remember intuitively, I was sitting in my garden a year before that, and I heard, I was checking in with my spirit baby, and they said to me, you need to make more time for me. And it was only when I came back from May from the retreat, I went, I'm going to clear out the rest of the year and do only what I want to do, not what I need to do, only what I can do that lights me up and raises my vibration. And I then felt I was ready to do that. So we signed up then to have fertility support with the Marian Fertility Clinic. But then amongst all of this, there was a new scheme coming out from the government saying that we're going to offer first time support for IVF or, you know, IUIs or ICSI, whatever, for anyone that's going through this for the first time. So we had dates booked in for the Marian. I just said, Sean, we'll cancel it and we'll go down this, you know, work with the government scheme, right? And we'll just go about our leisure. So we cancelled our IVF cycle, and that, I can't remember when that was for, it was for September or whatever. And we had a meeting then with the new consultant, and the report was that we need to go down 3 rounds of IUI first before we could go IVF. And in that moment, something just clicked inside me and went, nope, back, we're going straight to IVF. Nope, absolutely not. And it was just hell no for me. And intuitively, that's the kick I needed. But because beforehand, I really resented having to go down fertility support. I didn't want to do it. I dreaded it. I didn't want to put my body through all this meds and drugs. Like I said earlier on, I wouldn't even take a paracetamol, you know. Mm-hmm. My medicine, I would classify aromatherapy as medicine. So I
go from that to IVF.
Absolutely. And then it was that click I needed. So we left, had a little chat and phoned Marion straight away. And they were like, we're fully booked now until February 2024. And I was like, okay, something will cancel. Will you please put me on the cancellation list? The next day, we got a phone call being like, it's good to go. We've got space for you. And here I am now, 16 weeks pregnant.
So first time.
Yes.
It worked. How did it feel for you and your body in that process of IVF? Because I've spoken to Claire Walsh around it, and I think it's important to share all experiences. How did your body react to the process of IVF?
I treated it like a ceremony, because I didn't want to treat it like I was taking drugs. So the first pill that I had to take before the injections, I remember holding it in my hand. I've got a picture and video of everything. I have a picture of it in my hand, and I put it in the palm of my two hands, and I set an intention. I said a little prayer. I created it at like a ceremony. I lit some candles, and I said, thank you so much for being my superpower. So I treated the whole medical process like it was helping my body to be the strongest it can be. And I didn't treat it like a drug or medicine. I wanted to change the narrative for my mind, because that's what worked with me, to be like, this is just going to help my body get stronger, to hold the space for my baby. So every time, you know, and I would make sure that Sean and I would do the injections together, that we both felt really connected and both felt like we're on this beautiful journey together, that we actually made it fun. Like, we used to dance around before we'd pop the little needle in, you know, we'd laugh, it would be funny. You know, I really am shocked that I didn't get emotional. Of course I had doubts, of course I had fears. However, what I learned was my faith was much stronger than my fear. And I just knew in my heart and soul, I knew with every single cell of my body, that this was going to bring us our baby.
I want to thank Carriwell for recognizing how important support is to mothers, and for providing that support in all shapes and sizes, even podcasts. Their pregnancy and postpartum range is all about comfort, functionality, and support. It's not just about clothing. It's like this ongoing experience of well-being that sticks with you from pregnancy all the way through nursing. What is even more impressive is their commitment to the environment. Carriwell has taken significant strides to increase their eco-credentials by incorporating recycled materials into their collection. So not only are you empowered when expecting, feeding, and reclaiming your body, but you're also contributing to a more sustainable and eco-friendly approach to motherhood. Embrace the stretch of motherhood confidently with Carriwell, available to buy now on cleverclogs.ie or check out your nearest stockist.
How did it feel when the pregnancy test was positive?
Oh my God, I might cry. We didn't actually do a pregnancy test. We didn't actually do a pregnancy test. We waited to have our bloods done with the clinic. That was a shock in itself. We went up on, it was a Friday morning, and our appointment was 8:30 in the morning. So we had to leave quite early to beat the traffic. We live in Wicklow. And we were there anyway, got our bloods done. And we, like, I don't know, innocently, if you will, with a bit of naivety, sat there. We're like, okay, we're going to wait now for 30 minutes. We'll have the results. They're like, okay, go home. We'll phone you between 12 and 3. And we were like, what? To wait all that time. So we went home, and oh God, it was the longest day of our lives. At one point I was crawling on the floor, and Sean was like, what are you doing? I was like, I actually don't know, but I can't get up. We were so anxious the whole day. But I knew in my heart and soul, like I said, I knew I was pregnant. I knew I was. I could feel implantation happening. I could the smell, oh my Lord, any smell. I was so sensitive. I knew we were going to get a positive result, but we still needed to hear it. And then it was 5 to 3. 5 to 3. Like, Jesus. Five to three, we got the call. And yeah, it was just, I'll never be able to put into words, after all this time, 8 years of healing my body, 8 years, an 8 year cycle. This year is all about the number eight of abundance. And we finally heard the news. Congratulations. And yeah, I'm trying not to cry. It was just a dream come true, finally. Finally to hear those words after all the mourning and heartache and pain that we were going through every single month. It was just amazing.
You're 16 weeks now?
Yes, 16 weeks and blooming. Huge bump, but I love it.
How are you feeling in terms of kind of processing that it's okay? It's, you know, you're past that 12-week mark. You're maybe growing a little bit in confidence, growing in body, stretching into this new version of yourself, this new future mother you, while still doing your work, while still supporting so many women and families who are trying to get the news that you got.
I am navigating it very much from, I can feel like there's a real strong, powerful mother energy coming through me. I'm really shifted archetype, if you will. I really shifted that vibration. And for the first time in my life, and I really mean this, for the first time in my life, I'm not chasing anything. I'm just attracting. I don't feel like I have to push. I'm just in a, like, really in receptive mode. And there's a beautiful symbol. I have it actually here beside me. Sorry. It's a beautiful symbol of the divine feminine symbol. And it's a beautiful one, a gorgeous belly. And she's got a circle of life in the center of her womb. And her arms are up in the air. And this symbol represents, we don't need to chase, we attract. We don't need to do anything, we receive. And I finally understand what that means. And it took a long time of learning what that word, and it's still learning what surrender actually means. And it's both grates on me like nails on a chalkboard, but it's also the most beautiful thing to finally go, you know what, I don't need to ask the questions, I just need to let go and trust that my body and my energy can do. And I had a lot of support, I had a lot of aha moments throughout the fertility journey with my angels and what they were saying to me. And I remember one actually is coming in so strong as I'm talking to you. It was one of the most profound experiences, actually. I sat on the floor and I just felt so helpless, and didn't know what to do. And I could see Archangel Gabriel come in, or Gabrielle, whatever you like to say, Archangel Gabriel come in, and they stood in front of me and they said, Sinead, the frequency of the baby that you're going to bring in, the quote unquote, that you're going to bring in is so high, but your energy is not matching it now. Sinead, you have to do the work to get your energy to the level that it can hold the frequency that wants to come in. And I kind of remember sitting there dumbfounded. And I really want to kind of remind, you know, those listening that this is my story. This is not for everyone. This is not a teaching moment. This is just what I needed to do, is I needed to really work on being the best that I could. And I remember that was in June of 2023. And I was like, okay, I need to change my energy here. And I made a commitment to myself to be the healthiest physically, emotionally, mentally that I could be. I was exercising, but doing things I love to do, like a Bosu workout or yoga, running, walking. I was eating so well. I lost 11 kilos in like nothing. But not, I wasn't trying, it wasn't about weight for me. I just wanted to be the healthiest I could be. I was meditating. I was saying no to things or events or family things I just didn't want to go to. Again, I just didn't people please. I stopped doing that. I really was like, I need to put myself, my health, my body as a top priority. And I felt like that was me really becoming that kind of mother energy, being like, I need to be in receiving the highest vibration I could be. And that was a huge shift for me on my fertility journey. And another thing that I'd love to share, actually, it's coming in real strong, is that I remember when I was really getting into real health and fitness and loving, just nourishing myself, I was talking to my spirit baby and I said, look, give me a sign of a squirrel. That's it. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why I asked for that. I still don't know why. Didn't tell anybody but my husband, Sean. And I said, Sean, I've asked for this. He said, why a squirrel? I said, who knows? I don't know where it came from, but I've asked for this. We didn't tell a sinner. Weeks went by, didn't receive a sign from a squirrel. And we were like, oh God, this isn't good. This isn't good. Because obviously I receive signs all the time. But anyway, we're sitting on the sofa one night. We're just about to go to bed. And my brother lives in Canada with his girlfriend. And he texts me two pictures. No words, by the way, just two pictures. And there were two pictures of a squirrel. I opened my phone, gasped, burst into tears and turned my phone to Sean. And he was like, who the hell sent you that? I said, Liam is after texting me two pictures of a squirrel. And we were both flabbergasted. So I texted him, I was like, what is this? And he was like, I just thought they were cute. I was having lunch in the park and I knew you'd like them. They were sitting beside me. Oh my God, that was the biggest like relief. It's kind of when I went, okay, I can relax now. And I remember going up for one of my appointments. I had started the injections and I needed to go, you know, if anyone's on a fertility journey and they're going down fertility support, you know, you're kind of on call with whoever you're getting that support with, just to make, we're timing everything, you know, you're making sure the medicine is working. And I had to go for an appointment to make sure that the injections were helping my eggs to grow, right? We wanted to make sure they were viable. And I had to get blood tests done as well. And she was like, look, I don't think we're going to go ahead with this cycle, but I'll let you know when we get the results in a few hours. So I drove home completely just, oh, I cried the whole way home in the car. And I got to my exit off the motorway to come into where I live. And there's no one behind me, no one in front of me. And you know the way a squirrel normally scurries? They're really quick. They scurry. A squirrel came out onto the slip road, but just stopped in front of my car. I end up stopping on a slip road, and I can't believe I'm admitting that on the podcast, but anyway, I stopped on the slip road and burst into tears. And I was like, okay, Sinead, what more do you need? And I knew that I'd get a call saying, we're going ahead with the cycle. And an hour later, I got that call saying, nope, we're good to go. We're good to go. So yeah, they were just a tiny fraction of the most miracle little occurrences that happen throughout our fertility support, to know that we are supported by spirit, to know that Sean and I and our baby were supported by, you know, something bigger than us that we just may not understand, but my faith was stronger than my fear.
Now, I know there'll be some people listening to this that may have a cynical hat on and
totally fine.
Would have been one of those people, trust me. And I challenge myself sometimes, even listening to my own intuition and my own looking for signs and seeking answers and wondering what the heck is this world about. And what I want to say is that I also host a podcast called Gold Ribbon Conversations, which talks to families that are fighting childhood cancer. And when they tell me about signs, when parents tell me about the song that they want to hear and it comes on the radio, or the rainbow that they seek on the way home from a funeral, or the white feather, or the robin, I believe them when they tell me. And I don't know, is it because I feel like they have been dragged to the edges, the real edges of what being human means, and that I suppose space between us here and their babies that have gone. And it's like, I believe the bond. If your child was here and has left, I believe that bond still exists. And I believe the signs that they tell me were real. And I trust them. I trust them implicitly. I don't sit there with a cynical hat on and say, God, did you hear that? They think that rainbow is that child. I don't. Mm-hmm. I listen and I hear that and I say, yes, it was that child.
Yes.
I feel it. I feel it from them and I just believe it and I trust it. And talking to you today has made me actually flip that and say, well, if the bond exists when the child is here, but the child is gone, can I actually also believe that maybe the bond is there before the child is here?
Of course it is. But the bond is there before and after. And you connect with these amazing people that share their story of, you know, their loved ones and children passing. There's so much love there, and that love is everlasting. That love is a continuum. It's not just in this physical reality, it's forevermore. And that love is a beautiful cycle, and the cycle again, that love for the children that we're calling in, that my child, I can't get over how much I love them. I've never even met them in reality here, in this reality, but I know I love them so much. And that's why I trust in their signs so much, and the support that they've shown us, you know, their mum and dad, to know that we can actually trust in them, that they want to come to.
It's a very hard process. It's something that I only touched the fringes upon when I was waiting for my second baby, who took infinitely longer than my first, and but in the grand scheme, not long at all. But yet I know that weight, and I know that disappointment, and I know that mental game. And I also remember a night I had just come out of acupuncture. I'd been doing acupuncture for a few months, and the previous time I was there, there was, I don't know, something happened where I just ended up crying for like a month. But then after that, I remember leaving, and I was by the coast. It was in Clontarf, and I was looking up at the sky, and I just like, I know you're there. I know you're there. Come down. Like, we're ready. And I'm not saying yes. that's what did it, because I know so many other women that have done that. And a baby didn't arrive. So how do you reconcile how for some we can go through this kind of body and physical, emotional and spiritual connection, this kind of cauldron of mixing, you know, IVF medicine with just spiritual faith and with emotional well-being and setting boundaries and saying no and prioritizing yourself and minding your own energy and doing what it is that we want to create this life that we hope so dearly for. And for some to, and I'm asking, I suppose, from your teacher perspective and the people that you support, how do you help them reconcile if it doesn't happen?
Or if it hasn't happened yet.
Or if it hasn't happened yet.
So I love that story where you shared, where you're on the beach, where you're waiting for your second. And I actually had a similar experience. I went down to Britis, and I went at a time where I was literally the only person on the beach. And I let, I don't know where it came from, but I let a roar, and I wailed, like I screamed. And I was on my knees screaming. And I came off the beach and I was like, what the hell just happened there? And as I was driving home, I was like, oh my God, that was a mother's call. I felt like I was calling my baby, and I was like, get here now. Like this, it was like, I don't know where you are. I can feel you. And I feel like I'm already a mother without a baby in their arms and in my arms. And it's the only way, sorry, I get emotional, but it's the only way I could describe that. I felt like I was already a mother, but they just, my baby wasn't there, and I missed them. And I was like, where the hell are you? I miss you. It's like I lost my baby and I hadn't even met them yet. And sorry. But I think there's no words that I could ever say as myself here today, or as a teacher, to help or support, you know, anyone going through, because it's so hard and so different for every single person. But what I do want to say, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I've said this on social media, I've said it on so many occasions, I just think we as women and as parents that, you know, yearn for their baby and are, you know, going through a journey where you have to be bloody patient. I hate that word, but you have to be, that's what we're experiencing. I think you're superheroes. And I really mean that, because this is one of the toughest things I've ever been through in my life, and I would never like to go through it again. And there was nothing anybody could say to me to support me. And actually everything that someone said to me was a trigger, to be perfectly honest. You know, when people used to say, oh, sure, you're so intuitive, have faith, it will happen. Don't say it will happen to me. That was the worst thing you could say to me. So I think there's nothing that I can say to someone going through that, only that I think you're bloody amazing. And I think I really, really mean that, that you're super, you really are incredible, and you're so much stronger than you realize. Even at the depths of heartache, the depths of mourning, you're so strong. And my wish for you is that your dreams come true. And I hope that anything that I've said today, that we've spoken about, like if that can inspire or give a sense of hope, then I just really hope our words today can just give a little hug, if that's the only thing that I can say. But there's nothing out after been going through this that I could say generically to support another. It's too hard because it's so different for every single person.
I think if I'm to take anything from this, not only is it just, I suppose, to have that glimmer of intuition inside and to tune into her and listen to her, but also that surrender doesn't mean doing nothing. Like, you didn't surrender, although you say you did, but you got angry at Dr. Joe. And you demanded that action was taken to help your body, you know, be treated for endometriosis. You fought for that. That wasn't surrender. That, you know, you made the decision that you were ready for IVF treatment and taking your choices from, I don't take paracetamol, to I'm going to put this level of kind of chemical hormone into my body. That's not surrender. But yet, it is. You surrendered the part of you that was blocking it and saying, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. That's not me. I can do it this way. You surrendered that ego maybe inside that was fighting the support and the help that was on the other side. Or you surrendered the part of yourself in London that was just being the good patient, the good girl. And
I love that.
Not shouting for yourself. So surrender can mean lots of different things. Surrender doesn't mean lie down and do nothing and hope. Surrender can mean cut out the bullshit and just take the right action. Take the intuitively strong, what action is your body screaming you to take, and take it instead.
I absolutely love that. And you're so right. And actually, I think I'm going to share this with you before, but I've written something the other day, and it was titled How to Surrender, and I really want to share it because what you just said is hit the nail on the head. It was my ego and the control that I surrendered. If I can find it, because I do have something up in front of me here now, but if I can find it, I'll definitely share it with you. Oh, here it is. Can I read this out to you? I just think it just hits the nail on the head, because I definitely took action. And as you said, you know, we made a conscious choice of what's best for our situation and our life and our journey. And when I say I surrendered, I really felt my faith in, no, I trust that this is going to happen. And that to me was surrendering. But I wrote something the other day, and it's all about surrender, if you will. Okay. So it reads like this. I'm just going to move something out of the way so I can actually see it. Okay. How can I have patience when my heart knows what it wants? How can I have patience when I waited for so long already? How can I have patience when I have tried everything and anything to make it happen? Or is that the deal? You stop trying and you surrender. But what does that even mean, to surrender? If my heart knows what it wants and the universe and angels know what I want, then surely it will happen if we work in harmony together. What is harmony? I know it's not the feeling of helplessness. It's not the feeling of disappointment, frustration, or heartache. It's love and complete trust that it will happen. But how do you hold on to that feeling of hope when you're constantly let down by circumstances? Wait. All of these questions don't feel very harmonious. They scream lack of trust. Oh, maybe I haven't fully learned how to trust yet. How, when? What if I just did what I could today, for today, and repeat that every day for that day? I wonder if that's the way to truly surrender, just for today. I'll try it now. I will. For today, I'm just going to do what I can.
Thank you. Thank you for writing that, for channeling that through, for sharing it. Thank you for showing us that you can have deep faith and also walk into that clinic. Thank you for acknowledging that there are many ways to support people as they're going through fertility journeys, any journey, a grief journey, you know, a breakdown journey, a relationship journey. There are many ways to support ourselves. And I think one of the greatest things that we need to do, that we often forget to do, is to start listening and asking ourselves, what do we need? What do we need? Instead of asking the world, what should I do? You do that so wonderfully. And you remind me of it every single time I come across your content. I know this will challenge some people's beliefs. But you know what? That's no bad thing either. You know, and as I said, I would have had a cynical hat on me until I started doing that. I had a cynical hat on me until I became a mother. And then I began to trust what my body was here to do without reason, without rationale, without understanding, without how am I growing a spleen today? I don't know, but my body is doing it. So what more can it do that I don't know? What more can it do if I stop doubting it? What more am I capable of, but I just haven't tried yet? And then the signs, the rainbows, the robins, the white feathers, the songs on the radio, I see them now and I believe them because of the people that I've connected with on that other podcast. And therefore I believe it when everybody else now tells me in their everyday. Not everyone's going to believe it, and that's okay too. That's okay.
I think when you connect with that energy and it feels so hopeful and it feels so filled with love, you can't deny love. You can't deny that feeling of love. And that's why you get such a comfort from signs or feelings. And I think if, you know, I always say, and I said it already today, take what you want and leave the rest from today. If everything we say today doesn't resonate, then good, challenge it. Challenge everything we say. That's how, you know, I live my life. I'm a how person, why person, tell me more person. Challenge everything you hear and listen to your own intuition. Your inner knowledge is so much stronger than anyone else's. I'll never be able to tell you anything about your life that you don't already know. And a healer should never do that. When people come for one-on-ones with me, they're like, oh, I thought that. I'm like, of course you did. I'm a mirror for you. Because a healer should never tell you something you don't already know. But what we need to do is start, as you said, relying on your own intuition, your own energy, your own body. Do your research yourself and listen within. Take what you want and leave the rest, and trust in that love. Love yourself enough to know that you're worthy of whatever it is your heart wants and more.
Wishing you so much love on the rest of your journey, and I will be following intently to see when that good news arrives. Thank you so much.
Thank you for today, Sinead.
If you are interested in learning more about Sinead's work or her pregnancy journey, you can find her on Instagram at Sinead Dehora. If you loved this conversation, I'd love you to help this podcast to grow. So give it a little like or a review or subscribe or share it in your WhatsApps or on your stories. It really does make a huge difference. I'll keep making them if you keep listening. Talk to you again next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.